Take our first reading tonight from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. Hebrews 11 and verse 31, well-known story. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Now over to the book of Joshua chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 1 of Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Verse 6. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them. That was, she was hiding them from the wrath of the wicked king of Jericho. So she hid them with the stalks of flax which he had laid in order upon the roof. Verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how that the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. That was 40 years ago. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og. Og was the giant king of Bashan. And this was just a few weeks ago, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. What a confession. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our souls from death. Verse 18. Behold, when ye come into the land that is the spies, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou hast let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee, here's the two great whosoevers, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, when we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. And she said, According unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Chapter 6 of the book of Joshua. And just for the sake of time, verse 22. And Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire. Verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Joshua's name means Jehovah is Savior. What a name, Joshua. Jehovah is Savior. We read in Hebrews 11, By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. That shows to us the whole city of Jericho had the same opportunity in believing the message of God. It was a message of redemption. and it was a message of deliverance. So the whole city had the same opportunity to trust God and believe the message that was proclaimed, no doubt, throughout the streets of Jericho. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. This is an awful, dreadful sin today throughout the world. The sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. The Lord says, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, says the Lord, where I am, ye cannot come. So that shows us that unbelief will shut the sinner out of heaven for all eternity. If you believe not that I am He. I know that's the work of the God of this age. The work of the God of this age is to blind the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them and that they should be saved. The light of the gospel and all its brilliance and all its brightness and all its saving grace. This is the work of Satan to hinder and stop the work of God, the simplicity of the glorious gospel of Christ shining in to darkened hearts. The awful sin of unbelief. And as you look at this dear woman, she was just, you know, a poor heathen harlot that once trod the dark streets of Jericho, a sinful woman by nature and by practice. And we'll think first of all of her position, then we'll think of her condition, and we'll think of her privilege and her deliverance, and finally her posterity. And what a woman. Her a position. Here she lived in a city that was doomed for destruction. This was a message of judgment that these spies carried out to the city. But here was Rahab. She recognized them as the messengers of God. They had a message from God. And that message was a message of judgment, that God was going to destroy Jericho by judgment and finally by fire. That Jericho was going to be consumed to ashes by the fire of God, the judgment of God. And that was her position. She lived in a doomed city, doomed for destruction. And you and I tonight, friend, we too are living in a world that's doomed for destruction. The judgment of God one day will fall upon this old world that we're living in. One day the sweeping fires of God's judgment will sweep across the wide acres of earth, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that believe not or disobeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what shall the end be to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? So you and I tonight, we're living in a world that's doomed for destruction because of sin. Because of sin. That's why the Savior came to save us. He left the unsullied scenes of glory as He trod the celestial land. Those sapphire courts of eternal glory He left. And He came down to this old world to seek and to save that which was lost. We can think of His sympathy. You can think of His compassion towards the poor, sinful man. And that love for sinners lost took Him to a cross. And as out of love for you and I tonight, friend, that He died on yonder center tree and bore our sin in His own body on the tree. He loved the sinner so much. His delights were with the sons of men. He left heaven's glory for earth's gloom and the deep dark depths of Calvary's judgment and sorrow. Out of love for you tonight, what a Savior, that He died for me. From condemnation He has set me free. And we sang tonight, was it for me alone? The Savior left His glorious throne the dazzling splendor of the sky was it for me. He came to die. And we hope we all can say tonight, oh, it was for me. Yes, all for me. My friend, it's great to know Christ as your Savior. Have you ever taken that step of repentance tonight? Have you ever came to that place which is called Calvary? Gazed into the face of the crucified Savior and realized that He's taken your place in death and judgment. Oh, such love, such wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. Her position was she lived in a doomed city that's doomed for destruction. Then you can see, as we've mentioned, her condition. She's just a poor heathen harlot sinner. Just a poor sinner. Poor Gentile sinner she was. That was her condition. Just like you and I tonight, friends, we are sinners by nature and sinners by practice. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of God's glory because of the dreadful sin. But God came to put away sin, and that by the sacrifice of Himself. And not only do we think of her condition, but we think of her privileges. And when she saw these two spies, as we said, she recognized them as the messengers from God. And out of love for them and for the God whom she had come to trust, she hid them in the loft from the wicked wrath of that king of Jericho. And she told the story, you know. I believe she became a great soul winner, Rahab. She told the story, you know, long ago we heard the message of God's redeeming grace, the redemption that He wrought in Israel. How that day was when they took the little lamb and shed its precious blood, and its blood was sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintels, and there they found refuge and shelter from the coming avenging angel. We heard that story. I believed it. Then we heard of the mighty delivering power of God, as she mentioned to the spies, how that God dried up the Red Sea and brought out nearly 2 million people across the sea. Although they had an awful pursuing enemy, Pharaoh and his army pursued them, yet God delivered them. He set them free. And that night a nation was born for God. And how God had provided for them for those 40 years and led them fire by night and a cloud of pillar by day. Provided for them the beautiful manna. We thought of it this morning, the manna that came from heaven. Unseen before by human eyes. Untouched before by human hands. For no man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Provided for them by day and by night, regardless of their shortcomings, regardless of their waywardness and their sinfulness, God and His mercy and His goodness provided for them day by day until they landed safe. And the land of their inheritance, the land that flowed with milk and honey. We heard that news. It reached Jericho, and that gay day I believed it. And I trusted in the God of Israel, the mighty God of redemption, and the mighty God of deliverance, and the mighty God of provision. I rested my all on that God. And now you tell us that God's coming in judgment upon this city, and God's going to destroy it. But oh, I've got a loving father and a mother, and I've got brothers and sisters. I don't want them to perish under the judgment of God that will fall upon Jericho. And here she becomes a great soul winner. And no doubt she goes out, as we've read, and she gathers all her kith and kin. She gathers them all into her heart. Says to the spies, I want a true token. And the token was the crimson cord that flowed from their window. You see, outside the house, where there was no crimson cord, it was the place of judgment. But there was safety and security in the house under the crimson cord. You know, that crimson cord made them absolutely safe from the coming judgment of God. That was the true token. And the word of God that Rahab believed made them absolutely sure that they were safe and sound from the coming judgment of God. That crimson cord, friends, is often brought before us. It would speak to us of the precious, priceless, cleansing blood of Christ. No doubt for her it was an outward confession of our inward faith and trust in Christ, just like baptism. And I wonder, friend, what are you depending on tonight for the great eternity of God? Are you resting under the crimson cord tonight? Do you find shelter and refuge under the blood-stained banner of Calvary's cross? Is that what you're depending on tonight for eternity? The precious blood of Christ. There's one brother once said, I think it was Harold Paisley, said the most five precious words in the Bible is the precious blood of Christ. There's nothing more precious. The precious blood of Christ. As he said to Israel that night, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. My friend, that's the only place tonight where you can find shelter and refuge and security. It's under the precious blood of Christ. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That means, friend, it continually prevails to keep on cleansing us. It will never ever fail not to cleanse. Never. I remember when my cousin Robert, I might have told you before, 48 years of age, he was dying of cancer. He went to the same Sunday school as I went to. His father was in the meeting, Balnaliv meeting, where my mother went. And yet, he went in for fame and fortune. And to a certain extent, he got it. But it almost cost him his life, his precious soul. And as he lay there in bed, dying, I had a little exercise to write him a letter. And I reminded him of his early days. Coming to the gospel hall, sitting in a Sunday school, just a little hall like this. It wasn't a big hall, it was out in the country. And I remember how we often stayed there. We're only a few miles from each other. And his father would read the scriptures and pray with us each night before we went to bed. I reminded Robert of this. And the last thing I said, I wrote to him, I just wrote that verse, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And I just underlined, past, present and future. He died 2 weeks after he got the letter, and his wife told us that she believed that he accepted Christ as his own and personal Savior. Now, wasn't God good? Wasn't he good to save his precious soul? He'd left God out of his life almost to the last hour, yet God in his mercy saved his precious soul. It just reminds me of another story. I don't often tell stories, but of a place called Brookshane. It's a backward type of, out in the country. And this young man came to the gospel meetings. And he got saved. And they got him to tell his testimony before the meetings ended. There were tent meetings in Brookshane. And he told them that how he could drink hard liquor with his father at 14, drink for drink. But his father was lying in bed, dying. Alcoholic poisoning, his liver and everything was gone. He was dying an alcoholic. But he says, when I got saved, he said, instead of me carrying the liquor into his bedroom, he said, I carried the grand story of God's wondrous redeeming grace. Told him how that God loved him and Christ died for him. And in mercy, God saved his precious soul. And just as he ended his little testimony, he said, now, wasn't it good of God to save the like of me? And each one of us tonight that are saved, as we look over our past life before we're saved, we just can say these words, "Wasn't it good of God to save the like of me?" I tell you, friend, God loves you tonight. And all the tenderness and sweetness of His own precious love, He loves you dearly. He longs to save your precious soul. God loves you. Christ has died for you on the cross. And will you not just embrace Him tonight? Throw your arms around Him and embrace Him tonight as your Lord and Savior. I tell you, you'll be saved for time. And you'll be saved for the great eternity. What a Savior that we have to present. And here she is now. She tells the story to her father and mother and all her love. And they're all gathered into the house. You see, there was no salvation outside the house. Out of doors, judgment would overtake them. Only those sheltered by the precious blood would escape the coming wrath and judgment. And here she is settled within her house, you know, and before the burning of Jericho, Rahab was taken out. But before the walls fell, we all love to tell the story to the children, how that God told Joshua how he was to get the army of Israel. And once every day for 6 days, they were to march around the city of Jericho. Once every day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they were to blow the trumpet loud and clear and long. And after the trumpet ended, they were to give a mighty, mighty shout. And they did that, and the walls of Jericho fell. They followed the Ark of the Covenant, a divine symbol of the presence of God in the midst of His people. And as the walls fell, the army of Israel went in, and they fell upon the people, and they were destroyed. And then they said before the fire burned the city, before it happened, they took Rahab and her father and her mother and her brother and sisters and all her kin. They took them out of the city before the fire burned. And you know, dear friend, tonight, before this whole world is burned, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming from heaven. He's going to take us out of this world before the judgment of God will fall. My, it's good to be saved. O awful day, who would not be sheltered, O Lamb of God, in thee. I tell you, friend, the Lord is coming soon. Soon He will descend from the open heavens. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God will sound. And all living saints and dead saints will rise to meet the Lord in the air. And those that are not saved will be left behind for the awful judgment. Oh, what lamentations that will be in that coming day. What an awful day it will be for those that are not saved. Till tonight, come to Christ and receive Him as your own and personal Savior. Now, Matthew chapter 1, we find her name written there in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just think of it tonight. Lifted from the dark depths of sin and degradation in the dark streets of Jericho. And her name written in gold in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you come to Christ tonight, friend, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's infallible Book of Life. Tonight, what a position that will be. Well, just to read that verse in closing, I'll just read it to you in Matthew's Gospel. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, in verse 5. And Solomon, he might have been one of the princes, you know, of the two messengers of God. He could have been. And Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab. She's not now called Rahab the harlot. And I just thought of that today, and I think that's beautiful. You know, when you and I get saved, friend, old things pass away. Behold, everything becomes new. Our names are written down in heaven. And Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. What wondrous grace, what wondrous love. To love and to redeem and save a poor heathen harlot like Rahab, and write her name down in the Word of God. And my friend, that can be your portion tonight, if you only will but come and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. He can lift you from the dark depths of sin and seat you in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a Savior. He lifted us from the depths of sin. I remember reading that little story of Dr. Gill, Presbyterian minister in the south of Ireland, about 1740. A wonderful, learned man. And when he got saved, he wrote those words. He drew me from the depths of sin, the gates of gaping hell, and made my standing more secure than 'twas before I fell. That's what the Savior can do for you tonight, friend. He can change your life. He can make you a new person. He can write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when the roll is called up yonder, then, friend, you'll be there. May the Lord bless His Word.